Good morning, Tuts Maywee. This is Desiree Helligers, and I'm here with Nimi Poo Moll, Julian Ankeny, who's also the coordinator of Native programs at WSU Vancouver. And we're talking today about the fourth annual SJCon, WSU's Interdisciplinary Social Justice Conference, which is coming up on April 21st and 22nd, and which is on Zoom. Tuts Maywee, Julian.
Tots Lahane, Oikolo, good day everyone. Ina Monique Dwas, Julian Ankeny. My name is Julian Ankeny. Ina Was Nimi Poo. I am Nez Perce. It is a great day to be in the space here with you talking about SJCon. What a great day to be Indigenous.
So the conference this year is focused on the topic of Native sovereignty, decolonization, divestment, reparations, and environmental justice, constructing coalitions at the intersections. The event is on Zoom. It's free. It's open to the public, but pre-registration is required. So just a quick disclosure that Julian and I are both on the planning committee for the conference. Julian, do you want to talk a little bit about why this conference is so important and actually quite historic?
Yes, Katsiao Yao, thank you. I wanted to share with you some information that we will be highlighting this year. First, treaty-protected fishing rights have played an integral role in the defeat of dozens of proposed Pacific Northwest fossil fuel infrastructure projects. Big oil, coal, natural gas, and methanol companies look to Pacific Northwest ports as a strategic and necessary asset, the most direct exit for fossil fuels headed for West Coast refineries and domestic and international markets. At a 2013 talk at Clark College, Bill McKibben described the Pacific Northwest as having emerged as a great choke point in the struggle for the survival of the planet as we know it. Meanwhile, frontline sea-level Indigenous communities are being forced to move to higher ground at the utmost cost. As of 2023, over 1,500 institutions that control $40 trillion in assets have committed to divesting from fossil fuels, but still more action is needed to mobilize institutions of higher education, faith communities, unions, and local and state governments to divest from fossil fuels and other extractive industries and institutions that target Indigenous communities for exploitation and fuel the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous people. The moral and political imperatives to reinvest in Indigenous communities hardest hit by extraction, exploitation, colonial violence from law enforcement and man camps, sea level rise, extreme weather, and other manifestations of climate catastrophe merit far more attention and action. How are various institutions implicated in the exploitation of Indigenous lands and people and the exclusion of Indigenous people from equitable health outcomes, education, and investment and access to traditional foods? How do we document, make visible, and address these harms? How do we expand, build, and maintain coalitions to divest from fossil fuels and other extractive industries while reinvesting in Indigenous communities and repair the violence inherent in settler colonialism? What traditional and contemporary models of grassroots activism and coalition building can we draw from?
WSU itself is the product of the 19th century Morrill Act, which created land-grant universities in the United States. WSU is perhaps nationally unique in that it is still holding about 80% of the original land granted to it through the Morrill Act. WSU is in possession of about 73,000 acres still of Indigenous land. So it's really remarkable that we have 15 units at WSU, including entire colleges, that have signed on to co-sponsor this event and to really start looking at what is WSU's responsibility. So we're taking up these issues about colonial violence in similar ways to the ways in which Georgetown, Brown, Harvard, and Yale on the East Coast have taken up the conversation about what do we owe you know, what reparations are possible for universities that have benefited from colonial violence and from the labor of enslaved people.
Yes, thank you, Desiree Kutsiaoyao. WSU SJCon is an interdisciplinary social justice conference launched in 2019 by WSU graduate students in coalition with BIPOC-led community groups. We have accepted proposals for presentations, panels, film, creative work, and workshops that focus on pragmatic and action-based approaches to build and sustain coalitions. Desiree, can you speak to what some of the panels are and who are some of the speakers this year?
Okay, yeah. So we have panels on the salmon scam, criminalization and exoneration of treaty fisher people, on the role of Indigenous traditional ecological and cultural knowledge in decolonizing academia. There's a panel on missing and murdered Indigenous people, fossil fuels, man camps, and a case for divestment, reinvestment, and reparations. We have a screening and discussion of Jan Hawkins' film Atomic Bamboozle, The False Promise of a Nuclear Renaissance. Jan will be on that panel along with Kathy Sampson Cruz, who is a member of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. There is a panel on Indigenous rights and food sovereignty as environmental justice, another on health disparities and mortality in Indian country, and also a panel on Black Indigenous solidarity from AIM and the Black Panthers to Standing Rock and the George Floyd uprising. And that panel features Kent Ford, who's the co-founder of the Portland Black Panthers, Donica Brown and Sky Wilson. Other speakers include the Mole's own Robin White, Robert Collin, lecturer at the College of Law at Willamette University, Tom Keith, who is a defense attorney in the historic salmon scam case, Lana Jacks, a Lila YM activist, Wilbur Slockish, hereditary chief of the Klickitat, David So Happy Jr., Judy Bluehurst Skelton, professor at Portland State University in the Indigenous Nations Studies program. That's just a little taste of who will be speaking at this event. The conference, which begins on Friday the 21st at 8:30, is preceded on Thursday by an event also on the Vancouver Climate Action Framework. And that event is from 10:30 to 11:50 on April 20th. And the speakers for that include Don Steinke, Rebecca Small, Kim Harless, and also Sue Marshall. We have a powerful lineup of events happening across these 3 days from the 20th to the 22nd. And again, the conference, it's on the 21st and the 22nd, is coming to you through Zoom. It's free, it's open to the public, but it requires pre-registration. We will post in the website and the link when we post the show. But if you have other questions, you can email me at desiree.helligers@wsu.edu. Thanks so much for joining me today, Julian, and we will see you all soon. This has been Julian Ankeny and Desiree Helligers for the Old Mill Variety Hour.